Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 9.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, May the 14th. We will talk this hour about Hillary Clinton winning big in West Virginia yesterday.
It is a fact that no Democrat has won the White House since 1916 without winning West Virginia. The bottom line is this. The White House is won in the swing states, and I am winning the swing states. And we have done it by standing up for the deepest principles of our party, with a vision for an America that rewards hard work again, that values the middle class and helps to make it stronger. With your help, I am ready to go head-to-head with John McCain to put our vision for America up against the one he shares with President Bush. Now, I believe our party is strong enough for this challenge. I am strong enough for it. You know I never give up. I'll keep coming back. And I'll stand with you as long as you stand with me.
1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. As we talk about the outcome of the West Virginia primary, 2-1 victory for Hillary Clinton over Barack Obama, 41 percentage points. Does this make any difference? Should it make any difference? Your questions, your reactions, welcome for our guest, Joe Heim, professor of political science at UW-La Crosse, who joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Morning, Joy.
So this was expected that she would win, but it was a pretty big win, wasn't it?
40 points is a lot of margin, frankly. She picked up about 140,000 votes in the popular count, and that's a relatively small state, so that's a pretty substantial margin.
Yeah, so what does that tell us?
Well, you can do two different things. You can spin this both ways, and I'm sure both camps are going to spin it both ways. But West Virginia is not a typical state. It's a very small state. I think they have 5 electoral votes. That's unlike a lot of other states. It's more rural. It's more white. I think only 5% of the population there is minority. It's a relatively poor state. The per capita income is in the bottom 5 in the United States. So on one side, you could say, well, this is not a typical state. On the other side, however, the margin, a lot of people in that state are the type of people, middle-of-the-road, conservative Democrats, moderate Democrats, that working class that Barack Obama is going to need in the fall. So you could spin it either way, but basically it certainly has certain significance, at least in, as a standalone victory.
Well, Hillary Clinton was spinning it in that clip that I played, no Democrat has won the White House without winning West Virginia, and a Democrat has to pick up those swing states, those swing voters, in order to win the White House.
The state voted for Bush in 2000 and 2004, but it also voted for Bill Clinton in 92 and 96. So it looks like one of those states that could go either way, depending on who's at the top of the ticket.
Yeah. Well, is she right? Is the Clinton campaign right that those swing voters, those middle of the road moderate Democrats, as you mentioned, are critical for whoever the Democratic nominee is?
Well, I think she's overplaying that argument. The number of people that are voting in the primaries, although it's been breaking records, it isn't anything close to what's going to happen next November. Next November, you're going to see a lot more moderates, a lot more independents voting, and it changes the calculus of the race. Identifying whether you're winning swing states in a primary and Democratic, particularly Democratic votes in the primaries in the swing states, doesn't necessarily translate for either candidate into November.
In a lot of the exit polls in West Virginia and some of these other states, we see that some of the Clinton supporters in particular saying, I will not vote for Barack Obama if he's the nominee. Is that just blowing smoke right now? Do you think that's true or not?
I think it's a little bit of both. Mm-hmm. I think a vast majority of these people will be coming back and voting for whoever the Democratic nominee is, especially in states where you had closed primaries where these are only Democrats voting. So I think it's kind of one of those things. You know, some of the national polls talk about certain characteristics of each candidate, trustworthiness, likelihood of winning. Hillary did very well with almost every category that she had not been doing well with. The issue of change, for example, was she basically carried that. She did very well with the value voter. She did well with people who think that she has a better chance of beating McCain than Obama. So, you know, overall, I think she did quite well yesterday, but not necessarily an indication of the future.
Yeah, we'll talk more about the future after we check the weather. Talking with Joe Heim, professor of political science at UW La Crosse, talking about the latest step in the race for the Democratic nomination for president with Hillary Clinton yesterday, defeating Barack Obama handily in West Virginia. It says here that Hillary Clinton plans to court superdelegates and huddle with her money people today. Clinton insists she is not quitting the presidential race after trouncing Barack Obama in the West Virginia primary. Obama, who still has a solid lead in the delegate count, will meet with auto workers today in the battleground state of Michigan. 1-800-642-1234, our toll-free number. If you have a thought or a question for our guest on what West Virginia means or where this race goes from here, 1-800-642-1234 and Madison 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 18 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, May the 14th. Coming up this afternoon, it's At Issue with Ben Marins. After 5, Ben and his guest will discuss a recent report about the costly implications of family fragmentation. So, that's the topic after 5 o'clock this afternoon. We are talking politics, presidential campaign politics, the results of the West Virginia primary, where Hillary Clinton easily defeated Barack Obama. And wondering what this all means and where this race goes from here, talking with Joe Heim, professor of political science at UW La Crosse. Our number, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Before we go to the phones, Professor Heim, does this make any difference? Does Hillary Clinton's big win yesterday in West Virginia mean anything whatsoever when it comes to the math?
It doesn't look like it, Joy. Mm-hmm. If you look at the numbers, Hillary Clinton's got a number of problems, not the least of which is a delegate issue. Barack Obama, if you assume it's the 2025 delegate numbers that you need, he's within about 160 votes of that number. He's been picking up roughly 2-to-1 superdelegates since Super Tuesday, and he's done quite well since North Carolina and Pennsylvania voted. So it looks to me like the math is against her.
Ah, but let's listen to another clip from her victory speech last night where she references Florida and Michigan.
Neither of us has the total delegates it takes to win. And both Senator Obama and I believe that the delegates from Florida and Michigan should be seated. I believe we should honor the votes cast by 2.3 million people in those states and seat all of their delegates. Under the rules of our party, when you include all 50 states, the number of delegates needed to win is 2,209, and neither of us has reached that threshold yet. This win in West Virginia will help me move even closer.
So, Professor Heim, what are the chances that that the party's going to seat all of those delegates from Michigan and Florida?
I think at some point they're going to be seated. And I'm kind of guessing that Michigan will probably end up being split 50-50. Florida, however, you could make an argument that Hillary Clinton should get more of a 60-40 split. If you add the that 184 back in, that's the half the number that from Florida and Michigan, then it results in, and I hate to throw a bunch of numbers around, 344 is necessary for Obama. However, Hillary Clinton, if you add that to her total, she's almost at 500. So she's actually considerably further away than he is. His math, frankly, looks a lot better. Yeah. I do think, however, you have to think in terms of the 2209 that she mentioned, however, because at some point I think Florida and Michigan have to be dealt with.
Yeah, and I understand there is some meeting on May the 31st where this decision will be made.
Yes. If I was predicting how this is going to go, there's five primaries left. It looks like they're going to basically split these. You could see Hillary Clinton picking up, for example, the Kentucky. Obama will likely pick up Oregon. Puerto Rico, likely Clinton. And then you've got Montana and South Dakota. Both of them would look like they right now like they would lean towards Obama. The effect of that is, even if they just split the votes down the middle, as if the superdelegates continue to drop towards Obama, as they've been doing for quite some time, the math will add up by early June that he, in fact, will be the nominee.
Yeah, so you want to play psychologist? Why is she pushing still so hard? Why is she determined to stay in this until the end?
Well, I think you could probably make a good argument for she's gone this far. Most of the states have voted, but why not the rest? You could argue that this is, in fact, is an advantage for Democrats, that that this keeps the attention on their race, basically. It's pretty clear that West Virginia was happy about having a meaningful primary, and you could say the same for the states that are left. Mm-hmm. This says basically that all voters count, and we shouldn't just write them off and get this thing over with really quickly. There's a lot of things you could think about as to why she's, sticking it out. I think part of it is, and I'll say it in a more positive sense, it's difficult to let go. I think she thought she was going to be nominated months ago, and now she has to come around to the realization and that this isn't going to happen, basically. I think you could argue that this is actually going to help her delegates, her supporters. I think you mentioned the West Virginia poll that almost half her supporters do not want to vote for Obama in the fall. Mm-hmm. You need a certain amount of time to heal that type of feeling. And I think giving people a couple weeks here to come around to this, I think, would be very worthwhile. She probably feels she owes it to her contributors, to her volunteers, to her supporters to continue the fight. But at some point, they have to come around to recognizing what I think a lot of other people recognize. You could also argue that she's perhaps running for vice president.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk about that a little bit more, and I think we'll devote more time in our second half hour to that topic. But we have a number of callers, so let's go to Linda in Monroe. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning, Joy. Good morning, Professor Heim.
Hi, Linda.
I think the one who wins the popular vote is the way a democracy should work. In the overwhelming way Hillary won, I think she's the one that she should stay in. Now, I think there should be a debate between the two of them without an MC about the economy, particularly because they both support the idea of taxing hedge fund dealers. Now, it's the one that can deliver this message to the Senate that should get the job, because the Blue Dog Democrats in the House also want to tax the hedge fund dealers.
Well, Linda, so if they both have the same position on that issue of hedge fund dealers that you're interested in, why should they debate that?
Because the voters out in the United States are not hearing that message being brought up.
Well, let's stick not to hedge funds, but to Hillary Clinton staying in the race and whether we need to have another debate, maybe, Professor Heim?
Well, I think that the West Virginia voters certainly want this race to continue, and I think the same could be said for Kentucky and the rest of the states that are left. I mean, if you ask people, do you want your race to have some meaning or not, certainly they will. The debate, I don't know. They've had, 22 debates. They actually agree on so much, Joy, mm-hmm. that unless they decide to debate on some things other than the typical things, how to deal with Social Security, some of our foreign policy issues, how to get out of Iraq, if they had questions that really were different than what we've been dealing with in the past, maybe it would be interesting. I kind of suspect, however, that Barack Obama is not interested in a debate at this point. He generally does okay in debates, but Hillary does better.
Yeah.
And I think it's a certain risk for him to get in debate, and I would bet he wouldn't do it.
Well, Barack Obama has apparently shifted to, national mode in the fall. He's now running against John McCain, isn't he?
It's pretty clear he has.
Yeah.
Hillary has toned down her criticisms of him considerably, and he's clearly shifted towards John McCain. And McCain obviously is running already for the November race. So I think it's probably a wise thing on his part. He doesn't need, the math is all in his favor. The numbers seem to be moving in the right direction for him. And unless some major disaster occurs of some sort or some bombshell of some sort, this is likely going to end sometime in early June. I don't think that, by the way, Joy, that the delegates are going to wait till August. I just think they'd be crazy to do that. So they're going to continue tipping, and most likely in his column. Yeah, he's clearly recognizing that that the fall is where he's focusing his attention on.
Yeah, let's go to Mickey in Stoughton. Hi, Mickey, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you. I have a quick comment and then a question, if I can.
Mm-hmm.
I've become a little bit worried about Hillary's inability to really realistically see the wide picture and the stubbornness. It's reminding me of traits of George Bush that have actually gotten us in a lot of trouble. But my question is, I understood that McCain, if I'm right, McCain in West Virginia got a really small percentage of the vote in their primary. And how does that affect her win, or what does that say about her win?
McCain tallied votes, is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Well, they sure didn't report that much last night.
No, they did talk about John Edwards getting 7% of the vote or something like that.
Yeah, there are others out there, basically, mm-hmm. that are picking up some votes, but I think those are pretty scattered. Is Hillary not realistic? I suppose if you keep track of the numbers, the answer is yes. But I think she has her reasons for staying in the race, and it's pretty clear that Obama has not called publicly for her to get out of the race.
Mm-hmm.
I think he recognizes that that's not a wise thing to do. McCain, I think nobody's focusing on him other than the fact that he's pointing out policy issues, but nobody's focusing on the vote of McCain in any place.
Yeah.
I don't think it has any meaning.
Alyssa in Milwaukee, hi, you're on the air.
Hey, good morning. I guess when I hear polls of how voters in West Virginia and other states, especially Clinton voters, overwhelmingly won't vote for Obama, I wonder if the professor thinks that that's because she's been so negative and divisive in her rhetoric against Obama, I think more than Obama has against Clinton. And she sort of made her voters not as much for her, but more against Obama.
Yeah, we have less than a minute before news time, just for a short response, Professor Heim.
That certainly is part of it. She's been running an uphill battle since Super Tuesday, and the negative attacks probably have played a role. But all in all, if there's some kind of a scale here, Joy, she's not exactly on the extreme end of the negative scale. But yes, her supporters are going to have to come around if Obama has any chance of winning in November.
We're going to check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll continue analyzing the primary results from West Virginia and looking ahead to where this race for the Democratic nomination for president goes from here. And we'll talk some after the news about whether Hillary Clinton wants to be the vice president.
Thank you, West Virginia!
That's Hillary Clinton celebrating her lopsided 2-1 win in West Virginia last night over Barack Obama, citing that as proof she should fight on for the next 3 weeks. We are talking about the West Virginia primary results and the race for the Democratic nomination for president, and welcoming your reactions, your questions for our guest, Joe Heim, professor of political science at UW La Crosse. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We're also going to talk this half hour about a new poll, a new Gallup poll that shows 55% of the Democrats and the Democratic-leaning independents that were surveyed 55% believe Barack Obama should offer Hillary Clinton the VP spot should he win the presidential nomination. Do you agree? Do you think this would be a dream ticket or a mistake? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. So, Professor Heim, what do you make of this this new Gallup poll that says most Democrats want Obama to pick Clinton as his running mate?
I think a lot of Democratic voters out there, typical Democrats, think that this would heal the party much faster by uniting the party with both the two top candidates, that this would basically strengthen the overall ticket.
Yeah, so would it heal the party?
Pardon?
Would it heal the party?
Yes, I would say it would, but I also think that the healing will occur almost naturally.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes down to looking at the fall, Barack Obama and John McCain are really not two peas in a pod. And I would expect most typical Democratic voters to return to the fold. But yes, at this point, it looks like it would heal the party, at least in the immediate sense.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit. What would be... Do you think that Hillary Clinton is indeed staying in this race to angle for at least to be asked to be VP?
I don't think so. That's my own opinion. I just don't see her taking second fiddle in a situation like this. Months ago, I thought it'd be much more likely that Barack Obama would be a nominee for vice president. But I guess I don't see her wanting to do this.
Yeah.
I think she's fairly secure in her job in New York. She likes the Senate, basically. She does a good job at it. And I just can't see her wanting to become a vice president in a situation like this. And I just would be surprised if she'd accept it. There may be something else she's interested in other than that. Could be some other type of a position that perhaps could be discussed.
Yeah, Senate Majority Leader?
Either that or I'm thinking more of something like Secretary of State or something of that sort.
Mm-hmm.
That would certainly heal the party. It's possible that Barack Obama would do that, but there's a lot of reasons why it's not likely that he will extend the invitation to her.
Why isn't it likely?
I think there's a lot of people on his side that would be very much opposed to it. I hear rumors that Michelle Obama, for example, would be very much opposed to it.
Mm-hmm.
Hillary's got a lot of baggage. When it's all said and done, she's a fairly divisive person, at least amongst the Republicans in general electorate. And I think whether or not you want Bill Clinton back in the White House is a good question. On the other hand, she does appeal to a certain group of people out there within the Democratic Party that Barack Obama really needs. So it certainly has to be something considered.
Yeah,
she's from New York, by the way, and that's the blue is a blue state, so she doesn't really bring. She brings coalition members, perhaps, into the ticket in November, but it doesn't bring a state necessarily.
Well, maybe not, but as you mentioned, maybe she brings the voters in West Virginia, Pennsylvania, Ohio.
She would help him in some of the swing states. There's no question about that. But typically in our elections, we don't vote for vice presidential candidates.
Yeah. Well, we got lots of callers. Let's go back to the phones. Rick in Madison, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Well, I just was listening in, and it's the first time I've heard anybody talk about what I think is really going on here, which is that she is really increasing her cachet and power in order to get a cabinet position and to... I think she'd make a great Secretary of State, and I think that lots of reasons why she should stay in the race in order to get something like that, or even to increase her cachet among the party in terms of becoming governor of New York. And so this is the first. I don't think she's interested in the vice presidency, and I don't think that would ever happen with the two of them. But I think a powerful position in the new administration that would then. Move on to something else in the future, I think, is absolutely makes sense, and also something that she. So I just wanted to say that's the first time I've heard anybody talk about that this morning, and I'd like to hear more about that. Thank you.
Thanks for calling, Professor Hinn.
I think there's other things and other motives for her in this situation, and I think certainly she would become a major force. She has to be careful though how she exits the race in order to maintain a. a leadership role. If she and alienates a lot of the leadership in both the Senate, the House, governors, this could hurt her in the future, basically. So she has to be careful. She has to ease out of this race without damaging herself. She can do this with maintaining her reputation. She's run a great race. She can bow out gracefully. She's already said she's going to support the nominee of the party. She's pretty well hinted that she will support Obama, and she will do a lot to heal the rift that has occurred in the primaries. Also, let's just throw out 2012. This would, if Barack Obama would lose in November, she would be a logical person for 2012. She wants to maintain that, I would expect.
There are some who say she's staying in the race to damage Obama so he loses. Are you saying that?
No, I'm not. I think that she would like to keep that the 2012 option open.
Mm-hmm.
And if she does, she leaves this race, if she runs a take no prisoners type race for the next five primaries, I think she would damage her reputation. And if he ended up losing, people would start to blame her, try to blame her for it. But she can't do that.
Okay.
I think both within the Senate, but also just her future, I think she has to be careful here.
Hey, did you hear this one? I heard it was a pundit who said that there's a rumor that maybe she's holding out for a promise to be appointed to the Supreme Court.
Wow, that's an interesting one. Well, she's a lawyer, so maybe that's a possibility.
I just heard, again, it was just one of the TV commentators mentioned that. Jim in Wauwatosa, hi, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I think it would be an absolutely horrible idea to have those two on the same ticket for two reasons. The first reason is that there are certain Democrats and independents who under no circumstances are going to vote for Barack. And there are also some Democrats and independents who under no circumstances are going to vote for Hillary. And I think to put them both on the same ticket just increases that number. Secondly, I think after the election, there'd be a great deal of confusion about who's really running this country between Barack, Hillary, and Bill. And I don't think John McCain is going to miss that opportunity to jump up and down for a few months.
Mm-hmm. Professor Heim?
I think Jim recognizes the negatives here more than the positives, certainly.
Yeah.
And you do kind of think it would be a bit of a circus to have Bill and Hillary heavily involved in the White House. I'm afraid that if she ended up being a vice president nominee and winning, she might be one of the more distant vice presidents we've had in recent decades.
Yeah, and there are those who also say that if Barack Obama has been running on change, that would be opposite of his message if he would have those two on the ticket with him.
Yeah, if this is a change election, and I think he's certainly promoting that idea. She's old, she's been around a long time. She's certainly not an agent of change as much as she's tried to do this. One other thing I'm going to mention, they're both U.S. senators, and that isn't particularly a good situation. If this is a close race next fall, he needs electoral votes. He needs somebody out there that maybe is different than him, some what I call more traditional balance.
Yeah, he needs a New Mexico governor, Bill Richardson.
That's one of the first names that pops into your head in terms of balance and in terms of just, overall what he needs. He needs somebody that has a different type of experience than himself.
Yeah. Talking with Joe Heim, professor of political science at UW La Crosse, we're talking about the race for the White House following the West Virginia primary. Yesterday, Hillary Clinton celebrating. She had a big win over Barack Obama in West Virginia, a 41 percentage point win. What does this mean, and where does this race go from here? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 13 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Wednesday, May the 14th. Coming up after 8 o'clock, we thought we were going to be talking with former Senator Tom Daschle about his book, Critical, What We Can Do About the Healthcare Crisis. Former Senator Daschle, also a supporter of Barack Obama. However, Tom Daschle had something else he had to do today. Big important meeting or something, so we're not going to be talking with him after 8 o'clock. And instead, we're going to talk more politics. I'm just going to have an open line for you to talk about what you want to see happen with the Democratic presidential side of the ticket in particular. And I think we'll expand upon this theme of whether or not you want Barack Obama to choose Hillary Clinton as his VP, as his vice presidential running mate. And we'll do an open line on that in our next hour. Talked a little bit about that already with Joe Heim, professor of political science at UW La Crosse. And now we go back to the phones to take your questions at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Patrick in Green Bay is with us. Hi, Patrick.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I agree that she should be kept involved somehow. I remember an exchange agent by the name of John Kennedy who had great ideas, but it took a muscle man, a political muscle man like Johnson, to get the legislation enacted. So he would be wise to keep her involved somewhere. But I doubt if their personalities would gel well enough to be president and vice president. I have two questions. First of all, theoretically, is it still possible for the Democratic Party to certify the Florida and Michigan vote? And if they did, what difference would that make in the balance of power? I'll hang up and listen to my response.
Professor Heim?
Yes, I'll mention the second part first. I think the voters, Patrick's correct about keeping her involved. She's clearly shown that she can. She has a certain appeal out there to the Democratic base. Is it possible to certify Florida and Michigan? Yes. The Democratic Party can do almost what they want to do, and frankly, I think they're going to do something like that. At that point when they do this, however, in early June, it won't change the math, basically. If you add up and essentially split the votes in, say, Michigan, and you do something like 60-40, whatever the vote was for Hillary in Florida, it's not going to change the math, and she can't catch up with those numbers, basically. So I think this is going to happen. I think the Democrats recognize those are two states that they can't alienate.
Yeah, and clarify, Professor Heim, in the whole superdelegate situation, there's no way now for Hillary Clinton to convince enough superdelegates to choose her over Obama, regardless of what the math, you know, regardless of what the other numbers say, because she's the more electable candidate?
It's the math here, this is about what it is. I'm going to round these numbers off. There's about 289 elected delegates to come. In other words, if she won all those, basically, she would not win. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, there's 240 superdelegates. And she would have to take a substantial number of those, plus what she'd win in the primary. So it's just going to be not in the cards. The superdelegates, I think, have been recognizing the handwriting on the wall for some time, and they have been slowly dropping like dominoes into Barack Obama's column. And I think they recognize the inevitability of that.
Yeah, why so slowly? That's a question that's out there. Why don't all these superdelegates say, hey, he's going to be the guy, and we're speaking out right now, and rather than drag this on.
Well, some of them are from states that still are to come, mm-hmm. and they're waiting for their own voters to decide. I think some of them are truly undecided. In other words, they're waiting to see what would happen. Is there something else coming that would cause them to maybe make some kind of a massive shift here? But I think on balance, these are party officials, party leaders, elected officials that kind of keep track of this. And I think there's a certain kind of a momentum issue, too. My understanding is that Barack Obama's got a pocket of these, that he's sort of dribbling out as this goes on. And I think he's going to want to, at some point, look like the momentum is with him. And instead of one a day, it's going to be two or three a day if he has that kind of control over some of this. So there's enough reasons why they're holding back and just kind of slowly dropping in here. But I think the handwriting is pretty much there.
Paul in La Crosse, hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. Yeah, Paul. I think that one of the reasons that Hillary's still in it is that the party wants her to stay in, because her support in West Virginia and Kentucky was so strong that if she'd pulled out, she still would have won. And it would have been embarrassing for the presumptive nominee, Barack Obama, to lose to an empty chair. And by staying in, she is giving her people someplace to go. It's going to be a nice, she's being nice to Barack. And eventually she'll just step back, because I think what we'll see, because if this is right, just my guess, Thursday and Friday, Barack Obama will have enough superdelegates come over to him to beat the margin of delegates that she wins in West Virginia, just to show that he can still do that. And I think that, you know, then we will see for sure that this is the way it's going. But I think most of it is that fear of the empty chair.
All right. Thank you, Paul. Professor Heim, another political analyst from your neck of the woods.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that, basically. Her support is strong, and it's sort of a courtesy, if nothing else, to let people get their vote out. If she pulled out tomorrow, I think people in Kentucky, you know, Puerto Rico, other supporters of her would feel like they've been let down. So I think it's this thing at this point, you might as well let it run its course.
Yeah. So why do you think, though, Professor Heim, with you know, all this talk, especially all this talk since the Indiana and North Carolina primaries, that, you know, it's over and Barack Obama's the one, and everybody, you know, conceding that Hillary Clinton can't win this, except maybe Hillary Clinton, that West Virginia voters went out there and picked her 2-1 over Barack Obama.
It's kind of a question, Joy, of who thinks it should be over with.
Yeah.
The media, very clearly, if you listen to them, they've thought this has been over for weeks, and they seem to be very, very able to give their recommendations to Hillary over the TV. So it's pretty clear the media would like to be able to anoint the winner and kind of move on. But I think you get down to the voters. The voters, particularly these states that are still left, feel they have a role to play. They haven't played a role in probably decades, and this is their chance to do it. Of course they want to have their chance. They're a moment in the sun. So I think the voters, you know, the poll after poll in these states have said the voters want this to continue. They want Hillary to continue. And in many respects, you're honoring their request and their hope. Give them their moment while you can.
Steve from Appleton wants to know, is Clinton staying in the race to raise funds to finance her campaign debts?
I would say that's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
By maintaining her campaign, she can still continue raising money. She supposedly has lent her own race about more than $10 million.
Mm-hmm.
She'd like to get that back. I've heard rumors that part of the deal would have to be that Obama would agree to accept some of her debt and basically help pay it off. So that's certainly part of it as well. But I'm not sure that she's, you know, when you've got these other primaries, whether there's a net gain here for her, but I think perhaps that's part of the reason.
Yeah. Tom in Wausau. Hi, Tom. You're on the air.
Hi. I have a problem because I'm a Clinton fan and I'm not a I'm not a fan of his. And then I'm not going to vote for McCain because I'm sure we're going to have four of the same. So I kind of made up my mind if Clinton doesn't make it, I'm not going to vote. And now, I've talked with my mother-in-law. She's not going to vote if Hillary doesn't make it. Is this going to affect a lot of Hillary voters that they just won't go out and vote? I'll take my answer off the air.
Yeah, Professor Heim.
Well, that's one theory, that a lot of the Clinton supporters are simply not going to vote. They're going to feel. But what people say now versus what people say in November may be quite different. I think this election next fall is going to be very clear to people, the differences between the parties. The issue differences are very substantial. Barack Obama, one of his spins, which I don't like to hear, he says that he may not need the traditional Democrat, the lower-income, blue-collar worker, because he's going to expand his base, the newer voters, younger voters, college students, the increased turnout for African-Americans. I find that a very risky approach. I think he's much wiser to stick to the, you know, he can bring out his new voters and have expand his base, but he certainly has to pay attention to the traditional Democratic voter. You don't want people like Tom saying, well, you know, we're just going to stay home in droves, and because that would severely damage the Democratic Party. And by the way, it would also damage the Democratic Party further down, their chances of maintaining the Senate, House of Representatives, and other offices. So that would be a disaster for them.
Okay. Well, in our final moments, Professor Heim, we're on to Kentucky next.
Mm-hmm.
And Clinton is likely to do well there?
That's what the polls seem to show. It does not appear as if it's going to be a West Virginia type of a victory. There are, if I'm reading correct here, 51 delegates. She's expected to do well. He's already paid more attention to Oregon, who I think if it looks like there's some kind of a role here for Hillary Clinton, I think he sees Oregon as a place to stop that kind of a trend.
Mm-hmm.
That will be followed by Puerto Rico. Clinton is expected to do well there because she does well in Hispanic areas. The last two states, Montana and South Dakota, are both likely to be, at least right now, look like the Obama would be Obama territory. So they're going to essentially split the delegates going down the road here.
And then we will we'll find out on May 31st if the Florida and Michigan delegates will be seated. And you think this will wrap up sometime in early June?
I do. I really think that this is going to be over with faster than people expect. And I think if you listen carefully to what Hillary Clinton is saying, I think you can pick out things that she agrees with. The same thing that she sees the inevitability of this. She's a realist. And I think she's simply bringing along her own people, helping to heal the party a little bit, turn positive, and maybe to help the party pull her base back into the party, so they won't have these high negatives directed at not voting next November.
We'll leave it there for now. We're out of time. Professor Heim, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you very much, Joy.
Joe Heim, professor of political science at UW La Crosse. We will talk more presidential campaign politics coming up in our next hour. Talking about the dream ticket, this is the Ideas Network.